Welcome, everybody, to Live with Dr. Carolyn Dean. Carolyn is amazing. She's a doctor, she's a naturopath, she's an herbalist, she's an acupuncturist. She's going to tell you exactly what she would do if she were in your shoes. I can't think of a person who has devoted more time to helping people's health than Dr. Carolyn Dean. She can make a huge difference as you listen to her words of wisdom. We know she's ahead of time because she is the doctor of the future. Welcome, Dr. Carolyn Dean. There she is, Dr. Carolyn Dean herself. Welcome, everybody. Dr. Carolyn Dean live podcast. Carolyn, we have been here every Monday night for, 15 years or something. It's just crazy. And it never ceases to amaze me. You always say something unique. You've got tons of great information, incredible insights. You bring all of the power of your wisdom. You listen thoroughly to the questions that are being asked. You have a question, you can type it in on the chat line, and you bring all of your resources to bear every single hour. This is a power-packed informational show. We don't practice medicine here. Dr. Dean is not doing that, but she is advising people what she would do if it were her. And it has been her, face it. It's all been all of us at some point in time that haven't been optimal. And she has figured out ways to get us there in spite of ourselves. In spite of the toxins in the environment, in spite of the government, in spite of chemtrails or whatever in spite of that's out there that's attacking you or making you feel less than, Carolyn has conquered it and made her mark. And now she's here to share it with you. So we're so glad you're here. Please like live. Please subscribe. Please do a tap dance. Please share the link. Please tell other people, you know, whatever you have to do. All right, Carolyn, what are we going to talk about tonight?
Thank you, Ginny, for the inspired introduction. Appreciate it. Awesome. Okay, mini rant. Okay, here it is.
Okay.
For Pete's sake, can someone please get Remag lotion and Remag balm to Caitlin Clark in the WNBA for Pete's sake and for the sake of women's basketball. I depend on watching Caitlin reels for my dopamine hits.
Here comes the truth. Very good.
And our Remag is sports certified, so she can safely take it. These athletes in team sports are only allowed to use sports certified dietary supplements. We're sports certified. And I say her injuries seem to be muscle related. Yeah. So here's what happens. In a magnesium deficient body, your muscles can't relax. You can't get deep sleep. You're in hyper alert. And when there's extra stress, and in Caitlin's case, traumatic bodily contact every game and lots of falling down on the floor. So your body's going to tense up. And how many times have you stretched in bed and stretch your legs or even your back tenses up and you get those severe Charlie horse cramps, especially if you're magnesium deficient. So you can do the right diet. You can exercise. You can even do relaxation therapy, get your massages, get your chiropractic. But if you're magnesium deficient, your muscles are still suffering. But once you take a good absorbable magnesium like Remag, all your good lifestyle practices means you react right away to getting the magnesium. And that's why we get these miraculous stories from our customers. They're perfectly set up to let the right amount of magnesium work immediately. So there. Get this information to Caitlin Clark now.
Very good. Very good. Well, we've had a couple inside tracks, but we are fearless and we never stop. So we shall continue to pursue this. But hey, listen, if anybody in our audience knows someone who knows someone who knows someone, hook us up, reach out to me, Jenny, send me an email, questions@drcarolyndean.com, and we will get on it and partner with you to be able to get this information to her. So absolutely. And, you know, any other professional athlete, you know, for that matter, but Caitlin, yeah, of course, and Carolyn's dopamine hit are right at the top of the list. All right. Very good. Carolyn.
Okay. Yeah.
Something also too, real quick. I wanted to say, even though this is live and then it'll be played in the archives and so on and so forth, we don't usually date our podcast, but I'm going to date it a little bit and say that today is Memorial Day in the United States. And we want to thank all of our families, everybody active, military, former military, veterans, all of our people. And guess what? Our military discount is live on our website. We sent out an email about it today. So please, if you're a veteran or no one or are active military, take advantage of that military discount on our website.
Awesome. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And yeah, hearts to the military.
Absolutely. Hearts.
Yeah.
Hearts.
Yeah. Thank you for your service.
Absolutely.
Very important. I know over the years, a lot of people have approached me. Oh, there's this veterans group or clinic, you know, can we do a study? And it never turns out because we're not a pharmaceutical and we're not affiliated in that way. But the military discount is our little way of saying thank you.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Off we go to our library and we're still on Detox Your Body. I don't have my mirror image on, but Detox Your Body, the Sugar-Free Plan. I've got a trilogy of the detox books. There's a recipe book as well. And I don't have the third book, but Rachel shows off the covers all the time. So these books are really important because sugar is the main problem for a lot of reasons. So let's look at this week's blog and I'll explain some of it. It's about sugar toxicity and weight loss, why calories alone aren't the problem, and why sugar toxicity makes weight loss feel impossible. People are dieting more than ever. Half the population is currently trying to lose weight. So, and there's a lot going on about it. On one side, there's the intermittent fasting, and on the other side, there's the medication with Ozempic and Wegovy now. So in this blog, I'm basically making the case that you have to deal with sugar addiction and nutrient depletion and the way sugar works in the body. And I'm not going to read the whole blog or even go through it. It's basically sugar is toxic. It gets into the cells and it kills cells because when there's too much sugar to be put into what we call the glycolysis cycle and then the Krebs cycle, that extra sugar is broken down into something called sorbitol. It's a sugar alcohol. And that molecule of sorbitol is too big to go anywhere. It lies dormant in the cell and it builds up and it kills the cell. So that's sort of the precursor to the neuropathies of diabetes, where the cells around your nerves or the nerve cells die. So you've got the sugar toxicity part, and the sugar is going to build up in the eyes because there's no way of getting the sugar out. This is the blindness of diabetes. It builds up in the kidneys, and that's a kidney problem. So we've got a lot of toxicity with sugar in that regard. The other part of sugar toxicity is that it feeds yeast. And yeast is a natural organism that lives in the large intestine. If you feed it with sugar, that the sugar that's not metabolized in the cells, it's going to be excreted. And on the way out, it's going to be feeding bacteria and yeast. But that yeast, when it overgrows, it produces a lot of toxins that get absorbed through the small intestine. It's called leaky gut. So on and on and on. Everything about sugar, beyond the fact that we just need one teaspoon at any one moment, one teaspoon of sugar in the whole body. And what do we do with a can of Coke? 10 teaspoons of sugar. A milkshake, 20 teaspoons or more. A dessert, 10, 15 teaspoons of sugar. So we're being hit really hard with sugar toxicity. The other thing that I realized in my vitamin C book, and I put it in the sugar book, vice versa, they feed off one another, is that sugar and vitamin C both compete for transportation to the cells. They compete with the protein molecule called insulin. Now, who knew, except people who've listened to me say this every week, who knew that vitamin C needs insulin to be transported into the cell? No, nobody knows that. So when you drink that soda or have that big dessert, you're actually pushing sugar out of the cells. You're not giving it a place on the insulin transport protein. And so you don't get the vitamin C into the cell that's not necessary to act as an antioxidant for the natural processes of the body will produce waste that has to be detoxified by vitamin C. So that's sugar in a nutshell. And you can read the whole article at drcarolindean.com, my weekly blog. And I go into the GLP-1 conversation, intermittent fasting, a lot about yeast overgrowth. And this is the type of blog you want to send friends and family who are struggling with weight issues and sugar addiction. And it's why I did the 3-book series on sugar and even put out a recipe book where I was forced to put a picture of myself on the cover. So there you go, Ginny. Have we got any questions or comments on the chat? Because I don't have any today.
Okay, very good. Let's see. What do we have here for questions? Taking minerals. I'm trying to find the initial question. Okay. I don't know. Somebody's saying, how can I, when my minerals I'm taking help? Oh, that's Elma in Kuwait. Sorry, Elma. Okay. I don't understand. So say it again, Elma. Okay. Right this second, I don't have anything, but Elma's trying to ask a question. So we'll come back around.
Okay, great. Okay, so we're skipping questions and comments and going on to the pros and cons of supplements, drugs, and research. I love this section because I get to critique. I like critiquing. So a friend's son-in-law, I think he must be medical, tried to tell my friend to get off Remag and take a product called MAG-ATP. So obviously they're marketing the fact that magnesium is necessary to make ATP. And as Ginny would say, they have probably gotten that information from me. And maybe they're taking their product name from our Remag as well. So what do we do when assessing a supplement? We go to SUPCO and we look up the trust score. And it turns out that this product has been on the market since 2017, and it doesn't even have a trust score. We have no idea where it comes from or any of the 30 trust score factors, whereas our Remag has a trust score of 9.75 out of 10, which puts it in the top 2% of 160,000 products that they've tested. So this MAG-ATP, it's made from two magnesium compounds, magnesium bisglycinate and magnesium taurate. and it only provides 100 milligrams per capsule of elemental magnesium. So if a person wants a therapeutic amount of magnesium, which I say is 600 milligrams, they would have to take six capsules to make up that amount, and they will most likely get the laxative effect. Our REMAG has been studied at Purdue University for absorption. It stays in a stabilized ionic state in the human body, allowing full absorption. We gave human subjects a teaspoon of REMAG, and then we did a blood test, and I think it was around the 2-hour mark, it was still at high levels in the blood in the ionic state. And the head of research couldn't believe it. They redid the test 3 times. They've never seen such high ionic magnesium, and that's what the cells will absorb. Another supplement that's being heavily promoted, NAD, nicotinamide dinucleotide. It's a downstream from vitamin B3. So a researcher sent me the most recent study showing that whole blood NAD levels do not reflect healthy aging. So this is what we've been talking about in our Maui Reset study, because we're looking at aging. Everybody's looking at aging now. How can we slow our aging? And NAD has been push. And now they're saying, well, you know, it doesn't really correlate with blood testing. So NAD, it's produced naturally in the body from the amino acid tryptophan and from dietary sources of vitamin B3 niacin. And it's continuously recycled within the cells. So what do I ask about anything that comes up? Is magnesium involved with NAD perchance? Yes, of course it is. So magnesium is crucial for NAD-dependent enzymatic processes because it stabilizes NAD/NADH. Semicolon, it facilitates ATP-dependent enzyme activation, semicolon, and it optimizes enzyme-substrate interactions. I mean, they went on and on and on. Conclusion, without magnesium ions, many redox reactions involving NAD would be inefficient or impossible, disrupting energy production and biosynthesis. So take your restructure for your protein amino acids, including tryptophan. Take Realign for your B3. So there. And just to jump to hacks, and then I'll come back to Ginny. What's the very best hack? It's to take our formulas. I have hacked them out over the past 50 years and come up with the best formulations for all of us. I mainly did it for myself, but then I'm sharing. Right, Ginny?
That's exactly correct. Yep. Okay. We do not. Okay. Where it is. If you had atrial persistent flutter, but your blood test showed normal potassium at 8.4, would you still supplement with additional potassium plus REMAG and REMITE?
Okay. What's the range of potassium levels? Range, will they give it to me? No, they've jumped to chloride. All right. It's the range you want to look at. The number doesn't really mean much, and we have a sick population, so we go, the levels are not optimum in blood testing. Yeah, I don't know if that number, they're talking about milliequivalents, millimoles, so I don't know what that number is. You'd have to give me the range. But what I'd say, since I don't really, quote, trust blood testing the way it's done in terms of they take the average from the sick population. So it's never optimum. So I'd say go to our website, join up, use the chronometer that is free with the membership. Chronometer assesses how many nutrients you're getting with your present diet. If you're not eating 4,700 milligrams worth of potassium in your diet, then you personally, I would be taking more potassium. I take a teaspoon of potassium every day anyway, just because I'm not eating seven servings of fruits and vegetables every day, which is where you get your potassium. When you look at bananas, for example, there's, you know, maybe a couple hundred milligrams of potassium in a banana. You'd have to eat 20 bananas to get 4,700. So that's my answer.
Okay. I did look it up for you, Carolyn, and it says that on the range of potassium, normal is 3.5 to 5.2. So above 6.0 is a severe high level of potassium.
But this person said something about 8?
8.2.
So that means to me they're using a different range level. She'd be in hospital if she was, if they were measuring it in milliequivalents or millimoles.
Right. Okay. Very good. Okay. Excellent. Very good.
So that's what's difficult about blood testing. It's difficult to get standardization. It's difficult to get optimization. I think that's why everybody has jumped on this slowing aging measurement, where they're looking at, our lab said, a million different methylation factors in the body, and they look at how many methylation factors are active, and that is somehow equated to age. So that's what's interesting to me, rather than just a serum measure of something that's transitory. They are measuring your receptor sites for methylation physiology, biochemistry.
Right. I think that it's funny, like you said, if you are looking at a serum magnesium test, the range is like 1.8 to 2.6 or something like that. But if you have an RBC test, the recommended saturation point is 6.8. So mm-hmm. you can't compare. And then a whole blood test is different and another blood test is different. And so you really can't compare on this. And like you said, she'd be in the hospital if it were that high mm-hmm. because of the response there. So, but it is important to try to, and I guess the main thing she's asking is, how valuable is potassium to regulate heart rhythm?
Yes, it is extremely important. We've learned that in customer service when people say, well, I'm doing my REMAG and my heart rhythm is still not quite perfect. Then we say, well, are you eating your fruits and vegetables? And we got into all this when people started focusing on the paleo diet, high protein diet, carnivore diet, even keto diet, because it means you're not eating carbs, and it's in carbs where you get your potassium.
Yeah. It seems kind of strange that the range would be so low when you need so much. Also, I don't know, just anyway, but it's funny, whenever I do my blood testing, my ranges are awful high because I have pure saturation of magnesium, high vitamin C, high vitamin this, high vitamin that. And, but it makes perfect sense, because like you say, most of the scores are for sick people.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then they try to tell people who have high scores, well, that's not right, and scare people. Whereas we want to be optimum high. That goes for vitamin D as well.
Yeah.
some of the anti-cancer treatment they talk about with vitamin D say maybe you should be up around 80, 90. I want to be at least 60. When I did my first vitamin D test just a couple of years ago when we got involved with grassroots.org, my vitamin D was a 19. 19. And I mean, I didn't feel it because I was using so much magnesium. Whatever vitamin D I had, I was activating it. So I think that's when I said, oh, I guess we better make a vitamin D formula, Jimmy. Let's get to work. I need vitamin D. And within a couple of months, my vitamin D jumped up to 60. What did my magnesium do? It dropped because I was using up more magnesium to activate my extra vitamin D. So it was a perfect little experiment, an N equals one experiment.
Yeah. Yeah. Very funny. All right. Now, could Dr. Dean remind us of how many molecules of magnesium it takes to break down a molecule of sugar?
Right. It's 28 for glucose and 56 for fructose. So that's what makes excessive fructarian dieting pretty negative. People with high fruit diets, they can have high triglycerides because that fruit sugar, it is metabolized into fatty acids, triglyceride fats, and it uses up magnesium.
Yeah. Goodness. Poor that man. What was his name? The guy who, Steve Jobs, right? He was so convinced of that.
Oh, really? I didn't know.
He was a fruitarian.
Oh my gosh.
And
oh,
no wonder. Pancreatitis.
Wow. No wonder he was so angry.
Yeah. Get some meat, Steve. Okay. Very good. I think we're all caught up. Let's press on.
And guess what we're pressing on to? It is our articles, if I can.
Yay. Oh, perfect timing.
I know. Here we go, Rachel. The real danger to women isn't hormone therapy. It's bad science. So this is, it's a Medscape article, I'm pretty sure. In November 2025, the FDA announced they were initiating the removal of the black box warnings from hormone therapy products for menopause. So what happened back in the, it's 25 years ago, they finally did some studies on hormone therapy and found out women on Premarin were getting more cancer. And their answer to that was, well, let's give progesterone to counter the estrogen. Now, at that time, it was horse estrogen. Truly, they were taking estrogen from horse urine and making it into what was it called? Premarin, yeah. And then they said, oh, well, maybe it's the lack of progesterone. So then they got a synthetic methyl something progesterone that they married it with. And I think it didn't take too long for them to say, well, that's not really working. And I mean, it seemed normal to me that, you're giving this hormone in a synthetic form that stimulates growth, because it's these estrogen and progesterone hormones that go very high when you're pregnant, et cetera, et cetera. So just recently, and I talked about this a few months ago, McCary, the head of the FDA before he recently just left, he was saying, well, we've got to give women back their hormones. And it was like, a big mission. And I mean, it's all well and good, but they're going right back to the synthetics that caused the danger side effects in the first place, when they should be using bioidentical hormones that have less side effects. But of course, bioidentical hormones are not going to be patentable because you're making them from natural wild yam is sort of the base source for making bioidenticals. So the synthetics, they were using estradiol. It's the strongest of the three estrogens. There's estrone, O-N-E, one, estradiol, two, estriol, three. And the weaker ones are estrone and estriol. And in Europe, I heard back in the day, and I tried to look this up, and they're not talking about it anymore, but supposedly in Europe, they were using estriol, the weaker one, so there'd be less side effects. And personally, what I use is a triestrogen, a little bit of estradiol, and then also the estrone and estriol as a vaginal cream. So instead of doing that, they're going back to the synthetics, and the article goes on to say that less than 6% of family medicine doctors, primary care, and gynecologists feel confident at all with menopause medicine. So when headlines come out that make overarching claims about the safety of hormone therapy, many physicians find it overwhelming to interpret the research. Yada, yada, yada. Apparently, there was a more recent study that said, yeah, there's risk. Watch out. And they do say the risk associated with transdermals is different from orals. And yeah, that's why I just recommend a transdermal vaginal cream. We do know that, they say they're promoting it. We do know that these hormones prevent osteoporosis and fractures. Now, I don't know if that is really true. I remember back in the day, again, they gave a bunch of men with osteoporosis estrogen, and it didn't help them at all. So estrogen on its own is not going to fix your bones. You have to look at magnesium, vitamin C, all those basics, multiple minerals. And let me see here. They're saying vaginal estrogen is safe for patients of all ages to prevent urinary tract infections. I mean, I never, in my practice, I never came across that as a problem with menopause urinary tract infections. I mean, you get vaginal atrophy, and maybe at the atrophy stage, I'd be recommending the bioidentical estrogen and progesterones, and that would prevent urinary tract infections. But at any rate, as I said, bioidentical vaginal hormones, that's a form I recommend. And the rest of the article was trying to encourage doctors to learn about hormones and treat each patient individually. But that ship has sailed. Most doctors are in HMOs, and they can only spend about 7 minutes with each patient. So they're not going to have a big, come to whoever you worship moment about hormones. They really aren't. I mean, these doctors just don't have time. And they also don't have the energy. They don't have the constitution or they don't have the care that a doctor would have as an independent entrepreneurial practitioner. They have been taken over by the HMOs. So I tell friends and family to find a doctor that prescribes bioidentical vaginal hormones, get your blood tested, and when you get your prescription, use half the dose. So that's that. The next article goes into what's new in AFib. And they're recruiting in this article, they're recruiting for a clinical trial on a new device to burn off heart tissue to control atrial fibrillation. So this is the tack. They're not going to go to magnesium and potassium to work on AFib. They're just going to cut out the problem. They're going to do this burn procedure. And here's what they say. Horizon 360 protocol for the treatment of paroxysmal atrial fibrillation with the Sphere 360 catheter and a FIR mapping and ablation system. The system combines both high-density cardiac mapping and single-shot ablation into one catheter. It eliminates the need for doctors to switch out tools mid-procedure. So this study had 41 exclusion criteria, age, diseases, medications, et cetera, which means it will have nothing to do with normal patient population. If it's approved by the FDA, a doctor isn't going to go through 41 exclusions and say, well, you can't do it. The FDA approving something, doctors just say, oh, okay, I'll just do it. And anyway, this is the state of a lot of drugs and tools. They narrow the field of the test subjects and make sure that they don't have any diseases or drugs or interference in their study, get it passed. And then when it's used on the general population, that's where you start building up the side effects. And it's interesting, this trial was advertised on a post from MedPage Today about cardiology trials. And it was listed with 16 other studies of drugs and devices and never anything about nutrients. And I also noticed that most of these trials are on end stage heart disease. They've given up on prevention and wait until things get really bad. And then they put people on drugs or give them a procedure, which are both, you know, pretty expensive. So back to Ginny for a moment to see if we have any questions.
Yeah, I just want to comment. Michelle said that she's the one asked about the potassium. She said her mother's electrophysiologist is concerned that she's giving her mom Remag, Remite, and Pica potassium. So She said, next visit, I'm going to preach my case. But what would you say, Carolyn, if it was your mom and you had to talk with a practitioner about, you know, this situation?
Well, you can make a big case for Remag and Remite. She could take our Purdue study and just look at the label. It's the one teaspoon is only 360 milligrams, which is below the RDA. The Remite multiple minerals are very low dose. Doctors are really scared of potassium, but even our potassium, a teaspoon is only, is it 300 milligrams, Ginny? Can you?
It's 99 milligrams for every quarter teaspoon.
Right. So almost 400 milligrams. And when you look at 4,700 milligrams in the diet, then certainly a teaspoon or two of potassium is not going to be eventful. So, yeah, I mean, just present the facts. You can print up our study and
take the bottles.
And take the bottles. We've really never had doctors say, oh, you can't do this, because they look at the dosage and say, oh, well, that's not going to help. That's what their attitude is usually is, because it's not high dose. But yeah, I suppose if you just said to a doctor, yeah, I'm taking magnesium and potassium, they're scared of potassium because of the studies, not a study, but decades ago, there was a time release potassium, a drug prescription that burned the small intestine. The enteric coated tablet broke apart in the small intestine, burned people. So then they said, oh, well, potassium is bad. They didn't think about the enteric part was bad. So that's where they made the dosage of potassium 99 milligrams per dose, which does nothing. And we get around that by saying, well, a dose then is a quarter teaspoon.
Yep, very good. She's only giving her mom an eighth of a teaspoon. That's just 50 milligrams.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's even if with it, even in adding in what's in Remite 3/4 of a teaspoon is 99, it's 149 milligrams. I mean, it's just not, it's not prohibitive.
It's still going to do something. We have had people who'll take a 1/4 teaspoon of REMAG, 75 milligrams, and report beneficial results. So when the body needs something, the body will respond.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, very good. We press on.
Pressing on. We're doing great. The next article, why gastroenterologists should own nutrition discussions. This is Medscape. I've mentioned many times my actual clinical advisor at Mount Sinai when I was an intern. He was overweight, eating chips and drinking a Coke when he first interviewed me. And I asked, well, Dr. Newman, if diet had anything to do, does diet have anything to do with the GI disorders? And he said, no, seriously. So they're saying, well, you know, gastroenterologists should be on top of this and take over the nutrition discussion. And they can't because they don't learn anything. And they're talking about integrating it into their patient care. They don't have time. Most of us talk about food with our patients every day, this person is saying. We recommend low residue diets for inflammatory bowel disease, low FODMAP diets for irritable bowel, gluten-free diets for celiac, small frequent meals for gastroparesis, and nutrition-first approaches for metabolic dysfunction-associated liver disease. So they're talking about nutrition for medical conditions, not for preventing disease, which is what I spend time talking to my patients about. But I learned something in this article. I used to think there was no nutrition specialty. But in this article, the author said he was certified by the National Board of Physician Nutrition Specialists and the American Board of Obesity Medicine. So there is a side bar for nutrition. He even says there are still no nutrition codes, but they could be using preventive medicine codes to do their nutrition counseling. So, I mean, it's still a crazy world where what we eat is so important, but doctors really haven't gotten that message. And it's like you have to get to a gastroenterologist before they're saying, well, maybe now we should talk about nutrition. Too late. It's too late. The next article, antibiotics, no help for young kids' acute wheezing. So here I find out that when a kid goes into the ER with a wheezing problem, they're given antibiotics usually. So they decide, well, let's check this out. Does this even work? So they used a drug, azithromycin, and it proved to have no benefit to common practice of wheezing kids in the emergency department. A course of azithromycin for preschoolers, 18 months to 59 months, didn't improve their symptoms, did not differ significantly compared with placebo, etc. And they say wheezing illnesses are a leading cause of hospitalization for preschoolers and frequently treated with antibiotics. And recent studies have suggested a pathogenic role of bacteria in acute lower respiratory illness. That's why they give the antibiotics. So this study was to try and shut down the automatic prescribing of an antibiotic for wheezing kids. They, of course, would never think of using REMAG 50-50 with Pico Silver in a nebulizer. They just wouldn't think of that. And the next article, it's another asthma article. Oh, let's use triple therapy for asthma. And that earned FDA approval. So they approved a fixed dose triple combination therapy for the maintenance treatment of asthma in adults and children aged 12 years and older, according to the manufacturer AstraZeneca. It's called Brizetra. The single inhaler combines a steroid, which has tremendous side effects, glycopyrrolate, an anticholinergic medicine used to reduce bodily secretions, such as saliva and stomach acid. However, that high anticholinergic load is linked to adverse outcomes like cognitive decline, reduced mobility, and increased dementia risk. And the anticholinergics, some of them were taken off the market a while back, but so they're stuffing it into this triple therapy inhaler. And then formoterol, fumarate, which is a long-acting bronchodilator used to manage asthma and chronic obstructive pulmonary disease. So the drug was approved for the treatment of chronic obstructive pulmonary disease, this last one. So they threw it into the mix. It was a new option for patients with uncontrolled asthma despite existing dual therapies. So they say it's for uncontrolled asthma, but you know it's going to be handed out to everyone. Well, why not? You know, I probably have to recommend three drugs anyway. Let's just start with that. And they say the most common adverse reactions only have an incidence of 2%. I mean, seriously, I mean, 2 out of 100, they just chalk that, oh, it's okay. And you know, they don't report most of the side effects. So what are the side effects? Upper respiratory tract infection, because the steroid will make you more infection prone. Pneumonia, back pain, oral candidiasis, influenza, muscle spasm, urinary tract infection, cough, sinusitis, and diarrhea. So if the side effects are noted in the prescribing information, then you can't sue the drug company for side effects. So they usually present them all. And the disclosure is that the studies that led to the approval of this triple therapy were supported by AstraZeneca. So they had a lot to gain by getting this approved. And this would be one of the drug trials or set of trials that they spend $1 billion on, and they pay the FDA a fee, and the FDA runs on 50% of big pharma fees. I'm going to go over to Ginny before the last couple of articles. What do you got for me, Ginny?
I think we sorted out Elma's situation. Her doctor told her to stop, so she did, and then she started right back up again. Mm-hmm. And we got everything. Robin said that all of the diets provide poor nutrition, only making patients sicker and not addressing the root cause. And that is something we talk about here quite a bit, and we agree. Mm-hmm. And then Melody Rose is just saying, if we've missed your question, or if you have a question when you're watching the replay, please go ahead and email questions at drcarolindean.com, and we'll get the response for you. So I think that's where we're at right now.
Uh-oh. We only have one more article. We're going to have to come up with some questions, people. So,
okay. Questions.
Questions. Okay. Questions.
Very good.
The last article is the new dyslipidemia guidelines.
Mm.
So what have they done? 2026 at their ACC, AHA, I guess that's American Heart Association, America Cardiology Convention, whatever, multi-society guidelines on the management of dyslipidemia replaced the 2018 guidelines on what to do for cholesterol. What does it do? It tells you to use statins earlier. And it's expanding biomarker and genetic testing and more aggressive treatment goals for cholesterol. They give 10 steps for doctors to follow, all designed to start statins or the newer drugs, the PCSK9 inhibitors, as early as possible. And nothing about high dose ascorbic acid, lysine, and proline. So this is incredible. It's at a time where all the statin studies, cholesterol studies are showing that for the millions and millions of prescriptions of statins that have been given, the rate of heart disease has not declined. People are still having their cholesterol and having their statins and having their heart attacks because the statins aren't working. Statins do smash the cholesterol, push the LDL down a certain percentage, but that does not lead to any beneficial effects in terms of a longer life. And a lot of people, I came across a cardiologist on X the other day and said, you know, hold on to your seats, people. I'm a cardiologist and my cholesterol is 320 and I think it's great. And my cholesterol is in the low 300s too. And I think it's great. I need the cholesterol in my brain for this show. So we have these societies that make their money seeing patients over and over again, come in for your cholesterol blood test, take your drugs, come back every couple of months, and we'll see how you're doing, and we'll give you another prescription. It's a money making on all levels, big pharma and the doctors. So that's that for today, Ginny, and we have a few minutes left for questions and for wrap up.
Okay, here we go. How about some wonderful hacks, Dr. Dean? Do you have a hack?
Hacks. Well, I'm going to do a hack every week though, to take our products. See what's happened in nutritional. Well, no, let's say it this way: in the supplement industry, is we've got. Think about it, 160,000 supplements on the market. So everybody is trying to market them to death. And we're in that space too. We have to put out the word that, we can't put out the word that we can help you. We can't put out the word we can treat disease. We can't do any of that. So we're in this mix of people who are trying to tell you to take our stuff because it's wonderful, but we can't really explain why. It's crazy. It is really crazy. And it's frustrating too. Every once in a while, Ginny and I will say, how can these people get away with saying this about their product? Well, they will splash it and even go on big ad campaigns. They'll make a ton of money and the FDA may or may not catch up with them. And then they just shut down and open up next door. So it's a very lucrative industry right now. And we're doing our best to stay within the margins and still keep helping people. And that's why we depend on our affiliates. We have amazing people who maybe they are health professionals or maybe they just know a lot of people and they've had good results and they just tell all their friends and family and they get a bonus for doing so. So we encourage everybody to do that to help spread the word and keep us going.
Very good. Okay. We have a question here about peripheral arterial disease and also clogged arteries. And it kind of seems like it falls in the same area. What would you do for that, Carolyn, besides Remag and Remite?
Right. Yeah, that's pretty specific. You know what's been coming out lately, and I have written about it in my heart book, is natokinase. Personally, I have a bottle of it. I don't have clogged arteries or peripheral artery disease, but I have my natokinase bottle there. I must muscle test it every once in a while. But they've done more and more studies, mostly in Japan, using natokinase. I don't know dosage. I don't know much about it at all, but I would be researching that. Excuse me, itchy nose. And then, of course, there's the vitamin C to make your arteries stronger so they don't get the atherosclerotic, the peripheral blood vessel blockage. I talked about that in terms of the sugar business. When sugar builds up in a cell, the cell will die, and then that can affect the peripheral circulation. But vitamin C is very important for healing the arteries. And it's not just ascorbic acid. It would be our whole C reset capsules, because that's a whole food complex. And that's very powerful for healing small capillaries. And then, of course, your magnesium, because when you have problems with your arteries, calcium tends to start precipitating around. And what magnesium will do, it will solubilize the calcium and direct the calcium back into your bones and teeth.
Very good. Outstanding. Quick question. Can we use all the formulas on the skin? I'm assuming she's talking about the liquid minerals, put them in a spray bottle.
Yes, but then you don't know how much you're getting. I mean, you want to kind of know how much magnesium you need for all your symptoms. I took four teaspoons, 1,200 milligrams for over a year before I was able to cut back. And now I go between a teaspoon and a half and 2 teaspoons. Sometimes the 2 teaspoons makes me get a little laxative effect. And then, oh, okay, then I just need a teaspoon and a half. If you spray it, you really don't know how much you're getting. But we have said to people, if you refuse to make it palatable, because you can make it palatable. You can put Zevia soda. It's soda that's sweetened with stevia. You can put it in with Zevia and Pellegrino and some lemon juice or just orange juice. You can put it in your tea or coffee. It's not disrupted by heat. If you can't take it by mouth for whatever reason, then you can start spraying it. But even with Remag, we tell people, well, take a half teaspoon or a quarter teaspoon and put that on, and then take another half teaspoon, put that. Okay, you've got a teaspoon now.
Very good. Excellent. Yes, it would be difficult to measure and discern the dose. I agree completely. That's why we stopped telling people to do that. Mm-hmm. Okay, now a couple comments, a follow-up comment on natokinase. Angela is basically saying that her dad was taking it and it works very well, but he did have to cut back a little bit because he's got some bruising. I guess maybe it thinned his blood too much. Do you think that could happen, Carolyn?
I don't know enough about it to say.
Okay, very good. Excellent. We are 2 minutes to the end of the show. I do want to give a little love shout to Nan, though, because she posted the Pico Pets podcast on Nextdoor and 277 people watched it. Oh. So I think that's awesome. Thank you, Nan. That's great. So Pico Pets, you guys, you know that. It's our wonderful pet product, and we're launching a new product here in the next couple of weeks. It's so much fun to watch as many pet parents become addicted to the formulas as our human customers are addicted to the formulas and the results. And after you've taken crummy pills and powders for years, you've tried to force that stuff down your pet's throat, and you get the real thing, man. It just zings and it zangs, and it just gets you going the way you need to be going. And you know that you're going to use it forever. I mean, you can't even imagine. I mean, I cannot even imagine having Remag every day in my life. I mean, it's an appalling thought. So if you love what you've heard today, drcarolindean.com, all of our new listeners on X and YouTube, please join us there. All of Dr. Dean's content, all of her great interviews, all of her books, an incredible learning library, her classes and coursework, it's all there. And you can just continue to learn, expand, and grow. And also get, you know, it's like this whole health industry is like being in a big mud storm, and you got to try to wash all the guck off so you can see clearly. Dr. Dean will help you see clearly the biological reality of your body and its actual cellular requirements. And that's what you're going to get at drcd.com. And then, of course, at rnareset.com, you're going to get the formulas, which is her treasury of wisdom, all stuffed in bottle form and able to glug, glug, glug and sip, sip, sip and take, take, take. All of her unique combinations specifically formatted for her that she shares with the world. She uses them all, and you can see it served her very well, and it will serve you well as well. So rnareset.com. And then, of course, we talked about Pico Pet Supco is the place that you can rank and evaluate some of the other products that you're taking. And after you go through and see how crummy they are, you'll probably have extra money left over at the end of the month. And then you'll want to come back to RNA Reset and try something you haven't tried. We have a lot of people who haven't tried our Omega formula yet, which is fantastic. Or maybe you haven't tried Whole C, or maybe you're still trying to figure out what to do about your vitamin D. Go on there and try something new. And if you're a veteran, use our discount. Anything else we got to say today, Carolyn?
Well, when you said something about seeing clearly, I was waiting for you to break out into song. I can see clearly now.
That's right. That's right. Oh, and our Paragenius Foundation, we do want to mention Dr. Dean's personal project in Maui. The Paragenius Foundation is to foster the next generation of organic biodynamic farming in Maui, and the next generation of farmers who will be inspired to tend the land and to do it the right way. So we invite you to support her organization there. It's fantastic. I've been over there. I've seen the work. And every once in a while, we play a video. Do you want to play it tonight, Carolyn?
Yeah, I'd love to play it. I would. Rachel, if you have it handy, it's a sweet
plan tonight.
We bring school children onto the farm.
Part of what we're doing with Paragenius is helping to fund young people in their schools coming here classroom by classroom. We have a market in Wailea every Tuesday, and people don't know anything about the food or what to do with it. They're so far removed from the farm and the farmers.
I think in the modern era, we've become pretty disconnected from most things in our lives. It's really important for kids to see where their food comes from. And also, I think it's also important to see where good quality food comes from and what it takes to run something organic. You know, that's another word that's sort of thrown about, and we want it to be the case without looking into it, but seeing how it's actually grown and how much effort and time and money and hardship that takes, I think is an important lesson.
I've gone on this tour so many times, and I learned so much every time. And this is what the children learn. And I think it brings them closer to the land. And maybe, you know, we hope and pray that some of these children will become farmers.
Mahalo me ke aloha la. Mahalo me ke aloha la. Mahalo.
Beautiful, beautiful. Oh, that's so beautiful, Carolyn. Every time it gets me, my eyes want to leak, but I don't want my makeup to run. All right, everybody. Great show. Thank you again. We'll be here next Monday night. Bookmark it. Put it on your calendar. We'll see you again.
You Aloha. Have been listening to Dr. Carolyn Dean, the doctor of the future. Be Become a member of drcarolindean.com and get access to all her leading edge of creation information, as well as archives, webinars, and other valuable media resources. Join Dr. Dean and Ginny Almighty same time again next week.